Good morning and welcome to The Morning Fix. I'm Julie Dye and I'm here with my co-host, Amy Shepherd. The Morning Fix is a podcast series brought to you by the 510K Cafe. We interview medical technology leaders and marketers to discuss tips, tricks, and trends for marketing and communications in our industry. Today, we are speaking with Keith Bettinger, the president of Abbott's Neuromodulation Division. Keith started his career on the clinical side of healthcare after graduating with a nursing degree from Johns Hopkins University. He then moved into medical device sales and made his way up the ranks at Ethicon Endosurgery and St. Jude Medical before it was acquired by Abbott. He was also a volunteer in the U.S. Peace Corps in Senegal, West Africa. We're really looking forward to hearing more about his path and some recent news from Abbott in the neuromodulation space. Welcome, Keith.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Excited to talk to you guys today.
You're one of the very first leaders of a major medical device company we have spoken to. Talk about your background and what brought you to serve as the president of Abbott Neuromodulation.
Well, that's exciting. I'm glad you guys picked me to be your first leader of a major medical device company. But I'll give you a little bit about my background. I originally began my career actually as a nurse. And so I went to Johns Hopkins School of Nursing, and I practiced as a nurse for several years. And my background really helped me understand what patients needed out of treatment. It also helped me transition into the medical device industry. I had a really good friend that was in the medical device industry at the time. I kind of watched his job. I spent a day with him to kind of understand what he did. And I realized that my clinical background from nursing could help me tremendously in a medical device role. And again, I started out in medical devices and medical device sales, but I realized that my background would be incredibly helpful. So I started my medical device career at a small distributor that sold all interventional pain products. And I worked there for a couple of years as kind of a stepping stone to get into medical devices. And I worked there for two years, maybe a little less than 2 years. And I was incredibly successful. And kind of going in, I was nervous because I didn't see myself as a salesperson. What I saw myself as was somebody that had a strong clinical background that could interact with physicians, interact with nurses, had a lot of experience interacting with patients. And I was confident, and I was really confident in my knowledge base, and I thought that would help me. And it turns out it did. I had a lot of success. I had a territory that went from New York City to North Carolina. And I lived in Baltimore, Maryland, and I had a lot of success in that role. But I realized to do what I wanted to do, which is what I do today, run a business or a division, is that I needed to go work for a bigger company. So I started interviewing. I got a job with Ethicon Endosurgery, and that was really a great learning experience for me in my career. One, I learned a lot about medical devices. I learned about how to lead. I learned about how to become a well-rounded, I'd say, executive, so you can do a job like mine, because lots of times you get stuck in the silo of whatever function you're in, whether it's commercial, marketing, R&D, whatever it is. And what I learned at J&J, because they had rotational programs where if you were a sales rep and you wanted to move up within the organization, you went into sales training, then you went into marketing, then you went back out into the field, then you went back in and you became a director of marketing. Or you went into operations. But that was one of my key learnings from J&J. I was a successful sales rep, but really kind of what I studied was like, how do you become the president of a medical device division or the CEO of a medical device company? And what do I have to do to develop myself to get there? And so I learned that at J&J. But I wanted to work in a smaller company. So I worked there for 5 years, and I met a lot of people in that first job that I had as a distributor, selling all interventional pain. And we actually sold ANS, Advanced Neuromodulations, for a short time. And I had met a lot of people at ANS. And every year they'd come and try to recruit me into a sales position. And so ultimately, after 5 years at J&J, when I wanted to take the next step in my career into leadership, I left and went to ANS as a rep. And I was a rep for about 2 years, but I was very clear when I went to work for ANS of what I wanted to do with my career. And look, I've been incredibly fortunate that I've had that career. I've worked at ANS, St. Jude, now Abbott, all in neuromodulation for the last 17 years. And I've been able to kind of meet my goal, career goals. And a lot of that was a lot of hard work. It was a lot of success. It was, but a lot of it, I attribute back to those days at J&J, learning about leadership and how to develop yourself. Because working at a small company, they don't have the development programs that J&J did. So I had to figure out how to develop myself. And so now I've got, you know, well over 20 years of experience in medical devices. And I'm really fortunate to work with some of what I think are some of the most interesting life-changing technologies that are out there. And, you know, if you just focus on neuromodulation, I mean, I love the technology. I love the interactions that we have with patients. I love the physicians. I love the potential of applying electricity to the body to solve the symptoms of chronic disease. And I mean, this sounds a little cliche, but I remember when my friend who I kind of followed in the medical device was going out to dinner with doctors and everything. And I was like, and I was working as a nurse, but I was also just doing triathlons all day, every day. And I was like, why would you want to go out to dinner with doctors at night? And I really had to change my passion for athletics into my work. And I kind of found that neuromodulation. And I get excited to come to work every day.
So according to the International Neurological Society, neuromodulation is a therapy used to treat symptoms of multiple diseases that have a neurological basis, such as Parkinson's. Can you get into the science a bit for our listeners?
So overall, as a treatment, neuromodulation is simply technology that stimulates the nerve. So applying electricity to the nervous system. And the nervous system communicates and coordinates every organ in our body through electrochemical signals. And it serves really as kind of like the control center or the CPU for the entire body. Neuromodulation therapies, they tap into this communication system through mild electrical impulses, specific waveforms, different stimulation parameters. And that really creates and modulates the effect of the therapy overall. So if you look at our pain at Abbott, if you look at our pain therapies, for example, so spinal cord stimulation, we use a proprietary low energy signal or waveform that we call burst DR. And we also address the dorsal root ganglion, a different stimulation target with a different type of stimulation. But ultimately, you know, simply neuromodulation is applying electricity or chemicals to the nervous system to achieve a different result than what the patient's getting today.
Got it. And how has Abbott's neuromodulation technologies helped physician customers achieve better patient outcomes?
That's a good question. I like this question. So, and I'll go back a little bit to my nursing background here is, and I think my, you know, my formative years as a nurse and kind of understanding the patient has really helped us as a division build therapies that have been incredibly successful in the market. And number one, it's because we put the patient at the center of everything we do. And that sounds cliche. And I look at a lot of medical device companies today, and you're starting to see that everywhere in everybody's marketing materials. So it's kind of the fad, I'd say, of the 2020s. But when I really was able to start having an impact on this business was about in 2013. And we were coming out of a warning letter, and we just finished doing all the remediation, and we had investment to kind of really change our platform. We hadn't had any new products in 4 years. And we decided that, you know, we were behind, and if we were going to be successful, we really had to think differently about the market, which was like this, it was like a battle of features and benefits that were, I think, interesting to doctors, but not necessarily focused on the patient and getting better outcomes for the patient or making the therapy easier for the patient. We did a lot of research around complaint data, our own, our competitors. We looked at the psychology of chronic disease patients, whether they were chronic pain patients, whether they were DBS or neurological disorder patients, and made decisions based on and interviews with patients, but made decisions based off what we thought, based on all the research we did, would be best for the patient, which means they would get better outcomes ultimately and longer term relief from their chronic disease. And so if you translate that into products, I mean, this was a rechargeable, I'm going to specifically talk about the pain market. This was a 93 to 95% rechargeable market, which means the implantable IPGs that that patients were being implanted with were rechargeable, which means they had to manage them on a daily, weekly basis. Which means they had to recharge, their device. Well, when we looked at all the data, we saw that the complaint data was all wrapped around recharging, patients forgetting how to recharge. And our reps spent endless hours re-in-servicing patients how to use their rechargers. And that's not unique to us, that was unique to the market. But there was a lot of other complaints that patients had around recharging. And we took a risk based on what we knew about the patient, based on what we knew about complaint data, and then based on what we understood about the psychology of a chronic disease patient to come to market with our first new device in 8 years as a recharge-free device. And the reason we did that is because when you look at the data around a chronic disease patient, a pain patient in particular, if you have them rate the impact that their disease has on their quality of life, they'll tell you intensity of pain is 9% of that. And that comes out of published data. Well, all we were treating was intensity of pain. And that's 9% of how they rate their quality of life. A lot of it's psychological. It's depression, it's catastrophizing, it's ruminating. And we believe that if we could create devices that patients that were, you know, somewhat invisible to the patient once it was implanted, they would do better longer term. So what we did was we came out with a recharge-free device so they didn't have to recharge. It had low energy Bluetooth that attached to an Apple iPod Touch, which was a consumer device that everybody was familiar with. So if they were in the grocery store or the doctor's office, and they wanted to adjust their therapy, they were pulling out a device that looked like a phone, not a big medical grade device. And then we did a lot of research around the Burst waveform, or Burst DR, which for the most part is a paresthesia-free waveform, so the patient doesn't feel it. So we tried to take anything that they would focus on or could ruminate on away so they could just focus on living their best life. And that right there propelled us from number three in the market to number one in the global markets. And we're still number one in both the US and globally in spinal cord stimulation. But it's really because we were focused on the patient and putting the patient right in the middle of everything we've done. And ultimately, you know, that helps physicians, because physicians want their patients to do well, and they want their patients to do well long term. And all those things that we did took a lot of the service burden away from us as an organization, but it took away some of the burden of these devices to physicians too, because these devices have to be managed long term once they're implanted.
Yeah. You know, as you were speaking, Keith, I was thinking about how the industry is so patient centric today with content marketing at its center. Would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, especially in our business. I mean, this is considered an elective procedure, right? In the sense that, you know, a patient makes the decision on their own. Is this the next step that they want to take in their journey to getting pain relief? Because there's other options, and this tends to sit towards the end of those options. So yeah, I mean, the patient is a decision maker, and it's also life enhancing versus life sustaining, like some other medical devices. So there's a big patient component in this therapy. And so, yeah, I mean, we're certainly focused on the patient, not just from the standpoint of developing the devices, but educating patients and helping them understand their options and why a certain therapy would be good for them long term.
That's so great. I am a really big believer in medical device, Keith, having been associated with the industry for well over a decade. So Abbott recently introduced Neurosphere Virtual Clinic, a technology that enables patients to manage their pain by recording outcomes throughout their neurostimulation therapy in an Apple-based app. This allows physicians to adjust treatment settings according to the data they receive. Truly a remarkable tool, and we'd love to hear more.
Yeah, we're incredibly excited also about Neurosphere. And so Neurosphere is kind of a broader umbrella of our digital health solutions for the market. And we have, it really encompasses three things right now. It's an insights tool that helps our reps better understand where the patients are in the market so they can be out educating patients on the therapy. And we call that Neurosphere Insights. And then we have the Neurosphere MyPath, which is a patient app that helps really track patient-reported outcomes. Because as you know, pain is subjective. And there's multiple times that you want to really understand the outcomes from the patient. And historically, it was a VAS score from a patient the day they got their trial. And to understand the pain therapies that we sell, you trial the device for 5 to 7 days. And then if you have 50% pain relief or better, you're going to ultimately go to an implant. And so when you do the trial, you get a VAS at the beginning, you get a VAS at the end. But for Medicare, they want a percentage of pain relief. And so lots of times they're incongruent. And so what we wanted to do was get patient reported outcomes that we could track during the trial, to not just VAS scores, but using some functional batteries to understand how much better patients were doing from a functional standpoint and make sure that they're meeting their goals during the trial so they know kind of what it'll be like when they get an implant. And then, so that's MyPath today, but MyPath today eventually, and then the not too distant future, will encompass interest in spinal cord stimulation all the way through post-implant so we can get longitudinal patient reported outcomes so we can see how patients are doing long term. And that app also will ping the physician or ping a rep if the patient's not doing as well, and let them know that the patient should probably be brought back in or remotely programmed so we can optimize their therapy. And then the last one is the one you brought up, which is a virtual clinic. And we're excited for approval on virtual clinic and the launch. But yeah, it's first of its kind remote programming. Neuromodulation is really kind of set up for this, as devices have to periodically be reprogrammed, lesser and lesser with new therapies, but patients need to be programmed in both DBS and pain. And I'll shift my focus on this one to our brain business. But the exciting thing about virtual clinic is that we actually can securely, via the cloud, communicate with the patient's programmer, with the clinician programmer. So the clinician programmer is an iPad mini. The patient has either the app on their phone, an iOS phone, or they have it on an iPod Touch, which will communicate with their implantable pulse generator or the implant. And we can make the adjustments that we need at the same time seeing the patient. So the physician's looking in their iPad and the patient's looking in their iOS device. And we're using the cameras to visually look at the patients to see how they're doing while they're programming. And whether it's a pain patient or a DBS patient, there's visual clues on how the patient's doing, you know, facial clues. There's with the DBS patient, whether they're dystonic or they have tremor or whatever they have. You can see that, and you can see how the therapy impacts the patient during a programming session. So you can see the patient, and then we can change all the individual parameters on the device: frequency, amplitude, polarities, pulse width, to optimize the patient's therapies. And there's other companies out there today that say they can do remote programming, but really what they're getting the patient on a phone call, and they're just switching between programs. And everybody can do that today. What will be unique about this is the ability to remotely change all the parameters in the device to actually optimize therapy for the patient. And so it's way more convenient for the patient and for the physician's office. But we also think that having the ability to be programmed remotely as a patient, patients will be more apt to request being reprogrammed if they don't have to. If you're a DBS patient, on average, you have to drive 150 miles to get reprogrammed. And there's only around less 400 movement disorder centers globally for DBS. And so if you think about that, the access to care is very limited. And if you have to travel 150 miles or you're traveling from Missoula, Montana to San Francisco to get an implant, then you have to go back to be reprogrammed, the chances are if you don't have the means, you're never going to get the therapy. And these are therapies that are great for patients, but access has been limited. What we think about virtual clinic is, one, it's more convenient for patients, it's more convenient for physicians, but it is a huge driver to improve access to care for DBS patients and even pain patients. And then we think that patients will be more apt to be programmed in both pain and DBS, so their therapy will be optimized. So patients will get relief from their symptoms for a longer period of time because it's so much more convenient than driving that 150 miles. Or even if you're just driving 10 minutes, if you have to wait in their office because they're behind and you have to drive back in traffic, it just takes a lot longer. So we think two things are really at play here. One is it improves access to care for all of these patients. And then secondly, the convenience factor means that their therapy will be optimized more frequently and these patients will do better long term.
Especially during the age of COVID where it's all about staying remote. I think it's a very timely advancement. And I'm sure you would agree with that. So I think that's incredible, Keith.
Yeah, I mean it'll be a major change and evolution in how this business and how these businesses work. I don't think it's going to be easy to kind of make that change in the market, but I think it'll be a well-received change in the market for both patients and physicians. But there's a lot of things that'll need to be worked out, and we're working on those today. We have a great marketing team that's put the plan together, but there's some work to do.
What does the neuromodulation division hope to achieve with this medical technology advancement, and how do you see it affecting the portfolio for years to come?
I'll focus a little bit on 2021 because it's right in front of us, and then I'll talk a little bit about the future. But I mean, we've invested quite a bit in our portfolio over the last couple of years, and we see the catalyst for growth and market share capture, especially in 2021 and into the future. One is it's digital health, and that's what we've just spent a lot of time talking about. Secondly is data development, and really data development around new indications and our low energy approaches to stimulation, because while everybody else is going after high energy approaches and rechargeable batteries, we've kind of taken the right turn to, like I stated earlier, to devices that are invisible to patients that they don't have to manage. So if you're low energy and you're dosing electricity, it means that you can get smaller, smarter, longer lasting devices for patients. And then you add the digital health aspect on top of that. And you improve access to care. You improve access to care for these patients as well. So it's data development around new indications, low energy approaches, which we continue to put money into. And then looking at some of these new indications in DBS and expanding that market from movement disorders into potentially depression, which is an exciting area for patients that have basically chronic intractable or drug resistant depression. And then there's some exciting indications in pain too. Non-operative low back pain is a study that we're in the midst of right now, the distinct study. Right now, most patients that get a spinal cord stimulator have had some sort of back surgery previously that they still have pain. So this would be going after the patients that are non-operative and eventually pre-back surgery. And then there's some other indications like peripheral vascular disease where we're looking at some things with our vascular counterparts, diabetic peripheral neuropathy, where we're having some discussions with our diabetes group. And there's some other indications around peripheral nerve stim that are all really, really interesting places to apply electricity where we have good data to support that neuromodulation would be successful in those therapies. So that's just a few things. You know, if we look at 2021, you know, we just launched a new RF generator in January. So radio frequency ablation, RF stands for radio frequency. So radio frequency ablation of nerves, facet nerves in the lumbar and cervical areas is what we treat. And that's more for nociceptive pain versus neuropathic pain. But we launched that. That's a really important market for us as a business and really for our customers. It's a big component of their business. But we believe, you know, our strategy around creating devices, you know, is putting the patient at the middle. But we also believe that having a portfolio of products surrounding the physician and that we can touch the patients throughout the care continuum is really important. And that's the other kind of aspect of our strategy that kind of led to market share leadership. So launching new RF generators was incredibly important for us in this business. We've got another stimulator that we talk a lot about, which is dorsal root ganglion stimulation. So spinal cord stimulation is for broad diffuse pain conditions. DRG stimulation is really for more targeted, like if you just have foot pain, you just have knee pain, you just have hip pain, that's a better option. And DRG stimulation, those patients do incredibly well. It's probably the study that supports DRG is probably one of the better studies that's ever been done in the pain arena. And then lastly, this year, we're focused on MRI and making sure that all of our devices across our portfolio are compatible and really have normal operating mode MRI. So that gives patients access to MRI long-term. But more longer term, I mean, we're focused on smaller, smarter, intuitive devices that are invisible to the patients and lets the patient live their best life. And so they don't have to think about their therapy. They can think about their family. They can think about their loved ones. They can think about their job. They can think about whatever is going to make them happy, but they're not thinking about their chronic disease, whether it's Parkinson's, whether it's essential tremor, whether it's chronic pain. And we think it's really incumbent on us to create devices that they don't have to think about. They don't have to manage. They can have it implanted and they can get relief and they can go on and live their best life. And that's ultimately what we're focused on. And I think ultimately that's what you'll see in our portfolio in years to come. And that's a combination of software and hardware. With a lot of sweat equity and research around psychology of patients and disease that go into making the decisions on the product that we're going to make.
Well, that's all we had from the business side of things, Keith, but we do have one last question for you. Since you are here on the Morning Fix podcast, we would love to know what you do for your morning fix.
I mean, my morning fix is this. I get up relatively early. I like to have a cup of coffee. And then I like to get to the office early. And then I get caught up on really current events, what's going on in our markets and what's going on in the world and how that can impact our business or impact the people that work for us. And so that's what I do in the morning. I wish I could work out in the morning, but I'm a workout in the afternoon person. But I get caught up on what's impacting the world and impacting the people that work for us before I start my day. But I start out with several cups of coffee too. But hey, look, I really appreciate you guys taking the time. We love supporting other exciting things that are going on in Austin. You know, we're an Austin-based company, so it's good to talk to other people that are strong in the medical device industry in Austin.
Our pleasure, Keith. We've been looking forward to speaking with you for quite some time as we're passionate about sharing important messages in our industry. So congratulations to yours and Abbott Neuromodulation's success, and we look forward to seeing more great things in the future. And thank you to everyone for listening. We hope you've been enjoying this series so far, and please be on the lookout for more interviews from medical technology leaders. And thank you for tuning into the Morning Fix by 510K Cafe.